preseason starts this week for the Giants and Jets. We had the Hall of Fame game last week. And for those that need to scratch the itch, for those that need just a little taste, for those that miss football so much that even preseason football will get you pumped up, well, you have arrived. Your time has arrived. Because this weekend, the Giants and Jets are back. Not meaningful games, not games that'll count in the standings. And certainly what we saw last year when the Giants were the greatest show on turf Rams in the preseason, and we all know they stunk during the regular season, the Giants did. Obviously, the preseason has no bearing as far as what the performance is, what the results are in the preseason on the regular season, but it is it's an itch, and an itch that you can scratch. Because football is back, sort of. And we'll start with the Giants because I took a call last night on After Hours and I forgot the fella's name. I didn't write it down. I apologize for that. I should have wrote it down somewhere. But this fella said to me, you know, if the Giants make the playoffs, it would be a surprise. And I pushed back and I said, no, it wouldn't. It would not be a surprise. The expectations for this Giants season is 8, 9, 10 wins. And if they make the playoffs, it would not be a surprise. It would not be a shock. It would be, in my estimation, meeting those expectations. Now, I have giant expectations, I'll admit that. But everywhere I go, everywhere I look, everywhere I turn, as I walk around the streets of New York City aimlessly, and I go on social media, and I listen to this radio station, and I keep my ear to the ground always. The hype for the Giants, it's not just me, it's a lot of people. Giant fans, but also non-Giant fans. So if the Giants do make the playoffs, it would not be a surprise. It would be meeting those expectations. It would be holding serve. And with that comes a lot of anticipation, a lot of excitement, because the Giants have two important pieces in place. Quarterback, head coach. You're off to the races when you have both of those things. And you have a starving fan base that has high expectations year in and year out. And the dark days that we have had to live through really ever since Coughlin left, outside of a first year with Dable, 1 year with McAdoo, outside of that, the Giants have been an embarrassment, a giant embarrassment. And they have shared the same sort of waters as the Jets and the Browns, really just the dregs in the bottom of the NFL. Every time you throw on Monday Night Football or Thursday Night Football and they do those stupid graphics about the just awfulness of the Giant offense, it's usually the Giant offense and the Jet offense as far as lack of productivity, just awful, bad on prime time, bad at home, bad at offense, doesn't score, all this stuff that we have had to live through as Giant fans. Or even as football fans, just watching, even if you're a Jet fan, you're watching the Giants and you're like, hey, maybe this will help me with my sort of viewing pleasure by turning the Giant game on because the Jets aren't very good. And then you turn the Giants on, you're like, well, they look like the Jets, except their uniforms aren't green and white. But that's all changed now because of the quarterback and because of the head coach. And the Giants and Harbaugh go right into the fire on prime time against the Cowboys. And that game is going to have so many eyeballs on it. Not just the people in support of the Giants, but also the detractors. Because when you have this type of hype, when you have this type of momentum that the Giants have, and you have this amount of attention, there's also going to be people that want to see them fall. And that's just the way sports goes. I mean, the Cowboys are no stranger to that. The Knicks are no stranger to that. The Lakers are no stranger to that. The Yankees are no stranger to that. There's just certain franchises in sports that have become accustomed to sort of wearing that crown of there's a lot of people that want to see us succeed. And on the flip side, there's a lot of people that want to see us fail. And that's where the Giants have entered going into this year. And yeah, I do think with the quarterback, with the Hollywood looks, and I'm not sure, because Jackson Dart does have a girlfriend, I don't know if him and his girlfriend have done the Justin Herbert, Madison Beer, or the Joe Burrow and his girlfriend sort of where they're sitting there like it's Central Park and they're enjoying a nice summer day. Meanwhile, they're in the middle of a football field during training camp. I'm not sure if Jackson Dart has recreated that yet with his girlfriend, but be that as it may, Jackson Dart with the Hollywood good looks, and look, he's not going to bed early on a Saturday night. He's all over the place, which, by the way, I have no problem with. I've heard that a bunch this offseason where Jackson Dart, well, he's out there doing this, he's doing that. Yeah, he's a young, good-looking kid in New York City. You could say what you want, but when it's game time and when it's the night before and when it's time to go to work, go to work. But in your off-season leisure time, I don't really have an issue with my quarterback going out and having a good time. I really don't. Especially when you are in this city, in this town. And perhaps it's putting the cart before the horse, but what we saw from Jackson Dart on the field last year was a guy that didn't look like a rookie. Jackson Dart did not play like a rookie last year. The poise was there. The accuracy was there. The lack of turnovers was there. And outside of a couple of times where I thought the Giants put the training wheels on him and they basically neutered Jackson Dart because I believe they were afraid of the discourse that was surrounding him with he takes too many hits, he's in the blue medical tent too much, he's got a slide. And at that point, the Giants season was already over. So the last thing you want when you're in the midst of another horrific season and you change head coaches, the last thing you want is your most prized possession now, your quarterback. The last thing you want is the discourse and the conversation about him to be negative and to be something like injuries and he is being reckless. So I think they just said, all right, we're going to rein him in a little bit and we're going to just try to get through this season. We're going to hire the right head coach and then we're going to be ready to go for 2026. And that's exactly where we're at because, like I said, the preseason starts this week and it's our first taste of both the Giants and the Jets. And there's been a lot of hype also in camp. Now, remember here, as I pour a slight cold water on things, if you go on social media or if you listen to just any kind of Giant podcast or this station, whatever the case may be, you're hearing Arvel Reese's name thrown out there a ton. And this has nothing to do with Arvel Reese because I hope he's a great player. He certainly has a big-time pedigree. And I understand the drafting of him, especially once the Jets passed on him. And it really changed the course of history. If the Jets go Arvel Reese, the Giants are, in all likelihood, going to have Caleb Downs on their football team. And then Caleb Downs obviously went to the Cowboys. So many things changed because of one event, which I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, is the butterfly effect. I believe it's the butterfly effect, which was the movie with Ashton Kutcher, which was horrible. I never bought into the Ashton Kutcher stuff, and he stunk on 2.5 Men, too. So that's one of the, I'm all for people's success, you know what I mean? Especially now that I have some moniker of success, and there's plenty of people out there that wish harm on me as far as my success. So I hate to be this person, but I gotta give my opinion. Ashton Kutcher always struck me as a guy where I was like, how in the world is this dude famous? He's not very funny. That's just me. I never found him entertaining or anything in any of his shows or movies, but somehow, some way, he's built a good career for himself. So hats off to him. But yeah, I think he was in that movie, The Butterfly Effect, which is where one thing changes and then a million other things, sort of a domino effect, happen differently because of that. It would be like if Marty, which Doc Brown told him repeatedly, Marty, you can't interact with anybody in 1957. I think that was the year. I always forget the year that Marty goes back in time, and I always forget the miles per hour in the DeLorean. I think it's 76 miles an hour. I think it's 76 miles an hour. But remember, if Marty went back in time and did anything to sort of change the outcome of what's going to happen in the future, including, let's be honest, his mom wanted to hook up with him, which is a very interesting topic if you think about it. But yeah, he couldn't do anything to change the course of history. And the Jets changed the course of history by going with Bailey instead of Reese. But all you're hearing about with Arvel Reese is he looks great, he looks amazing, he's a stud, he's a video game, he's all these things. Let me remind you, and look, the jury's still out. We don't, it's year two, we'll see. But we heard the same things about Abdul Carter last year. The exact same stuff. So let's just see how it plays out with Arvel Reese. And look, I, for one, were a part of that, Abdul Carter stuff, in terms of I thought he was going to have a big rookie year, I thought he was going to have a big career, and he still can. But in year one, I thought Abdul Carter was a major disappointment. And he's got to be better this season. And I don't want to hear about pressures, and I don't want to hear about statistics that don't really matter. What matters is sacks. What matters is wrecking games. And what matters is this Giant defense finally living up to the, well, expectations that we have all set for it. Because that defense is a huge part of the success of this Giant team this year. If they could stop the run, which is imperative, well, the Giants are going to be on their way. If they can't, boy, that pass rush is going to have to be top five in the league, because I'm still worried about the secondary. I really am. That's why I wanted Caleb Downs. I felt like Downs was a leader in the secondary, can help you stop the run. And I know you drafted Hood, but and they're certainly things you can like about the Giants secondary. I still view it as a major question mark. The linebacking core has certainly gotten better with Edmonds and with Reese. And I mean, Edmonds alone, you know, Reese is more now. And that was the reason why the Jets passed on Arvo Reese, because he is going to be a project. He could flop. It could be one of those situations where he just is not like David Bailey might be a steady player for the next 10, 15 years. And by steady, I mean really good. Well, what I mean, what Reese, it might not be steady. It might be 1 year he's amazing, 1 year he's bad, or it takes two bad years to be amazing in the third year. Kind of a wild card. And that's why the Jets were unwilling to go in that direction early in the first round, which I can't blame them for. But the Giants' defense and their ability to stop the run is going to be paramount. Paramount for this team and their success. But I've said this ever since Harbaugh was hired. I have Giant expectations going into this year, and I expect a Giant turnaround right out of the gate. And I expect a victory in week one. In fact, I'm not saying I'm, you know, guaranteeing one. Maybe we'll wait a few weeks to do that. But I expect the Giants to win week one against the Cowboys. And the Cowboys have been getting a lot of, well, they always get a lot of attention. But there's been a lot of Cowboy optimism from, and again, I always have my ear to the ground. I'm always walking the streets. I'm always listening to what everybody has to say. And look, even though we're in New York, I brought this up a million times, but I'll bring it up a million and one times. There are more Cowboy fans in New York than there are in Dallas. There are. You can go anywhere on the planet Earth and find Cowboy fans. You can go anywhere, even made up places. You can go to Mordor, you can go to Tatooine, and you will find Cowboy fans. They're everywhere. And they're not hard to find because they're very loud and obnoxious. And they haven't had a lot to cheer about lately, but the Cowboys, from what I'm hearing, apparently, are on their way to the Super Bowl, which, you know, wake me up when that happens. But there's a lot of people that think the Cowboys are going to win the division. I don't see it, but there are a lot of people that think that. Be that as it may, they have a dynamite offense, Dallas, and they're going to be right out of the gate, you know, a well-oiled machine on that side of the ball in week one. The Giants can't afford a learning curve. They can't. And perhaps you're thinking, well, those aren't Giant expectations, Positive Tommy. Those are unfair expectations. Well, you know what? When you hire John Harbaugh, when he walks through that door with the type of resume that he has, with the type of winning percentage he has, and I look at this roster and the talent it has, because I always thought it was coaching over personnel. And that's why I was on board with Dable getting fired and Shane staying, and that's ultimately what ended up happening. It was more about the coaching and not about the personnel when I look at the futility and, quite frankly, all the losses that mounted with the Giants in previous regimes. Those days are now over. There's a new sheriff in town. There's a CEO, an adult in the room, a taskmaster, a guy that has a terrific resume. And say what you want about the Harbaughs. Yes, they are. You could say quirky. I would say they're just weird. They wear the corduroy pants. They're strange fellas. They march to the beat of their own drum. Jim more than John, but even John has a little bit in himself as well, as far as the quirkiness and the weirdness. But they're winners. They are winners. And they win. Give it time, they win. But I'm not giving Harbaugh time. I want it right out of the gate, and I want it this year, because I look at the NFL as a year-to-year league. 1 year you can be in the outhouse, the next year you can be in the penthouse. Now, as far as the Jets, like I said with the Giants, I always keep my ear to the ground. I know what the streets are saying. I know what social media is saying, and I probably shouldn't be surprised by this, but there is a part of me that is. And it really started in July and is now carried over into August. But I can't believe how many Jet personalities, Jet content creators, Jet fans, I can't believe how many of them have, and I call it going through the turnstile, I can't believe how many of them are going through the turnstile and predicting the Jets to win 7, 8, 9 games. Listen, the Jets have won 13 Super Bowls in the month of July. We know that. I think it's more likely that Aaron Glenn is fired by week 6 than it is the Jets win 6 games. It's a coach quarterback league. The Jets do not have either. I don't believe in Kate Klubnik. I've made that pretty abundantly clear. But if you're new to the show, let me just put it in simple terms. I think he stinks. And I watched him a ton in college at Clemson. I don't think he's very good. The Jets certainly do because they traded up for him. But I don't think he's the answer. Nor is Geno Smith. I think Geno Smith will develop into a good, steady backup. And I think the Jet quarterback that is going to get them out of this is awaiting in the upcoming draft. Whether it's Manning, whether it's Chambliss, whether it's Moore, whether it's Carr, one of these guys coming out in the draft, because it's going to be a very deep, very rich quarterback class in the 2027 draft. So what I'm telling you with the Jets is, I am optimistic, just not this season. And I think a lot of Jet fans are just being a little bit, and hey, if you want to flip that back on me and say, Tommy, listen, you're putting the cart before the horse. You're trying to get the Giants to 10 wins and in the playoffs. But to me, the Giant, and here's why I feel differently. The Giant groundwork, I think, has been laid more than the Jets, okay? But, and I probably buried the lead on this one. More importantly, quarterback, head coach. I believe the Giants have both, and the Jets don't. It's a quarterback, head coach league. The Giants, I feel very secure about what they have going on in head coach and quarterback. I don't feel the same with the Jets. But I'm also not somebody that says, well, the Jets are never going to win as long as Woody Johnson is the owner. That was the same things that were said about James Dolan. Well, the Knicks will never win as long as James Dolan owns the team. Certainly, they'll never, ever win. Heck, I'm starting to hear that about Steve Cohen and the Mets. We all know that the Knicks just won a title in June. Does James Dolan still own the team? Last time I checked, he does. So, clearly, the Knicks can win a title with James Dolan as their owner. Same thing with Woody Johnson and the Jets. He just has to do what James Dolan did, and that's hire the right person. The Knicks would have not won a championship without Leon Rose. Now, maybe Muji is that guy. So far, so good. But the jury's still out on him. He's kind of halfway completed, I think. Like, trading off the young players was step one. Now step two is finding the quarterback. And you hope that once that quarterback is here next year, this infrastructure that you have built, offensive line, the young skill position players, and the Jets still have to develop. They have Garrett Wilson. They gotta get another guy, though. I mean, whether that's Kenyon Sadiq, who's a tight end, but still can be pretty much a wide receiver. That second option in the passing game. That guy has to emerge. Otherwise, to me, when you talk about the skill position players of the Jets, I think it's a little bit hyperbolic to say that they're loaded. Well, they have all these things on offense that you love. Well, they got to develop another guy behind Garrett Wilson. And hopefully it's Sadiq. Could be Cooper. I mean, there are options. And obviously bringing back Breece Hall is huge, especially when you are going to have a young quarterback taking over the reins next season. I am optimistic about both franchises. Look, we've lived through a lot of bad football in this town for a very long time. And I think those bad days are just about over. The Giants are there. They've arrived. They're back in the NFL. The Jets are still a few steps away, but they are not by any stretch of the imagination. And listen, considering where the Jets were, you know, it all failed with Aaron Rodgers, and you can't blame him for getting in bed with Rodgers. It would completely blow up in their face. Zach Wilson is the worst draft pick in the history of all New York sports across any team you want to give me. Zach Wilson's the worst. For the Jets to have had both of those quarterback failures, disasters, you know, it takes time to kind of get out of that and dig out of that. And the Jets are still trying to figure it out. Obviously, Justin Fields can't throw the football in front of him. Geno Smith, the best years he had in Seattle, I don't think he's going to be able to recreate that here. I'm not a huge fan of Kate Klubnik. I don't think the quarterback for the Jets that's going to get them 7, 8 wins, back over 500, to the playoffs, etc. I don't think that quarterback is on the roster currently. But I do think he's on his way. I do think he will be drafted next year. And I have this good feeling that the Jets are finally going to hit on that quarterback in the draft. I just have a gut feeling on it. And I'm rooting for it. Look, no fan base should have to suffer as long as the Jet fan base has had to suffer for it. You can't say Jet fan without long and suffering in front of it. You've paid as Jet fans your debt to society. You should be able to enter the NFL again as fans. You should be able, the curse should be broken. You should be able to have that young quarterback and enjoy the fruits of that labor and the success of having that quarterback. So I'm definitely rooting for you. But in my plan, it just feels like more of a 2-3-5 year thing than what I'm hearing from a lot of Jet fans this summer, which is, well, no, it's going to be this year. I don't see it. I really don't. Because of the coach and the quarterback. Because I think Glenn is going to be gone. I don't see him surviving the year. Frank Reich will be the coach. And, yeah, I think Klubnik will take over somewhere middle of the year. Because Geno Smith was brought in here to kind of be a placeholder. And now look, Geno Smith, I'm sure, is sitting there going, all right, I'll shock the world. Just like I did in Seattle. And if he does that, here's the problem. I think even if you get the very best of Geno, you're winning 6 games, and that's probably the worst case scenario. Because now you're in a position, even with multiple picks in the first round, listen, no one's going to say, oh, you know what? I have the number one overall pick, or I have the number two overall pick. I'm just going to give up on the young franchise quarterback so that the Jets can trade up. That's not happening. So keep dreaming if you think that is. It's not. The only way to get in that position is to lose a lot. Hey, that's the nature of the beast. That's the way it's set up in the NFL. There's no lottery. The more you suck, the better off you are next year in terms of drafting a quarterback and being at the top of the draft, picking 1, 2, 3, whatever the case may be.